All right, welcome into Spilly on the Rocks. It's been about a week for me since I've done a Spilly on the Rocks, and part of the reason why is I forgot my equipment. Forgot it. I was in St. Louis. God, that was raging hot. St. Louis, crazy, crazy hot. Like, I think if you were to list the different environments that an athlete plays in, cold, hot. I guess hot and humid. Can you be humid but not crazy hot? Yeah, I think you can. Wind, rain, snow. I would put wind as my number one least favorite. Like, I don't care if it's hot or cold, wind is awful. Humidity. I'm like not built for humidity. Like, my face puffs up. I'm just not built for it. I sweat like a ton. And even, people talk about like the health benefits of a sauna. No. I mean, I'm prepping myself for like an eternity to burn, but like not now, not while I'm on this planet. So, St. Louis was a sauna, and Rockies won a series there, which was great. And then you have the Diamondbacks coming to town, and the Rockies took 3 out of 4 from the Snakes, which was great. I've always wanted to make some shoes out of the Snakes. So the Rockies lost on Thursday. Then they won Friday. Saturday was insane. They came from behind. It was probably one of my favorite Rockies wins in a long time. And I'll get into why the Rockies are winning right now. Because would you believe it? The last time we talked about the Toronto Blue Jays, I was like, hey, here's the blueprint. I was in Toronto on Friday for Apple TV. And I basically watched the Toronto Blue Jays stick a fork in the Texas Rangers. And Toronto came from behind. They ended up winning the game. And they won it because of two-strike hitting, putting the ball in play. They were able to overcome, leads, trailing late. And if you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, like basically since the end of June, they've been the best team in baseball. If you look at the come from behind victories, the Blue Jays have been near the top of baseball. And would you believe it that the Rockies are actually in those come from behind victories of like 4 runs or more? In fact, they lead baseball and come from behind victories with behind 5 runs, which doesn't say a lot about the starting rotation because they're giving up early. Kind of points the fact that the bullpen has been holding serve, and the Rockies, especially at Coors Field, they have a chance to do some crazy wonky things like we saw in Pittsburgh. But today on Sunday, I want to show you something, so let's see if I can finally share my screen the right way. This game was really, really fun. Really, really fun. Okay, here we go. I think I, nope, I did not get it right again. Hello, family. Let me get back to my screen share. I want this one. Yeah, here we go. All right, so I'll set it up for you. It is the top of the ninth inning. Victor Vodnik, the last 2 days, has been closing. So he closed on Friday, he closed on Saturday. So he was down on Sunday. And so Juan Boyo Mejia, because it was Players Weekend, so all the nicknames were out. I thought they'd wear cooler stuff, to be honest. Like, guys didn't really have, like, some guys had some cool bats, but they blew up. I was hoping for, like, cooler stuff with the catcher stuff. I know Cal Raleigh did a cool one today for the Little League game. Basically wore every one of his teammates' Little League pictures, which was great. So he had this chest protector with all of his teammates on there. Amazing chest protector. And by the way, some kid at the Little League, it's not Cooperstown, it's the Little League Williamsport game, got the big dumper Cal Raleigh to sign a toilet seat. That's amazing. I hope that doesn't end up on like Fanatics or anything. So, anyways, here we go. Juan Mejia, first time going out for a save. And this play is just berserk. It's bonkers. So, Rockies, they came from behind. They were down. They ended up having a big 4-run 7th inning. I'll get into that. And here you go. Ketel Marte coming off the bench. By the way, Ketel's dealing with like all this negative media. There was an article written in the Arizona Republic last week that continues to kind of linger around the team. And it's been a problem. Like, Ketel Marte is probably one of the best underrated players in the sport. Like, Jose Ramirez, Ketel Marte, those guys are like one and two for me. Ketel's an amazing player. I'd love to have him. And the story behind Ketel is that he's not always available. So he plays in half the games on Sundays. There's the anonymous quotes. He's kind of a diva. I hate hearing that. I don't believe in it. I'm sure there's some truth to it, but not full truth. And so Gerardo Perdomo post game ended up sticking up for Ketel Marte. But basically, the story goes, Ketel didn't play on the Sunday before the All Star game, and the Arizona Diamondbacks went through a whole fire sale. They sold off Josh Naylor, Gino Suarez, Merrill Kelly, and they had to win like every game. And Ketel's their best player, so didn't play on Sunday. Played in the All Star game, which kind of irked some of the teammates. I guess that's how the story goes. And then he had his house broken into while he was on All Star break. So during the All Star game, had his house broken into. Apparently went on vacation, which he's allowed to do, because Torrey Lovello said, "Hey, I don't need you back until Friday." Would let his All Stars do that. He was not available on Friday post All Star, and was actually out through the weekend while he was sorting out the theft of his stuff in his house. So big story there, especially when they needed him the most, and then they ended up making the trade. So that's the story behind Ketel Marte, if you're curious, because I'm sure somebody's going to talk about it. But here's the play. Final play of the game. Juan Mejia, he jumps, he dives, and he goes crashing into a warming burn belt. Look at Mejia. We thought he was dead. No, like, no joke. We thought he was like seriously hurt. Seriously hurt. And then he opens his eyes and he's good. It was like a WWE match. Look at this again. This is insane. Here, I'll get it back to the contact play. Wow. Pitchers are never supposed to catch it, but he wanted it so bad. There he is. Ryan Ritter post game called Juan Mejia jump man. So there he is. There wasn't a good photo, unfortunately. We were hoping for like a sweet Juan Mejia in the air photo. This is tough. No man's land. Ritter was back here because Ketel Marte is a lefty pull hitter. Second and third, two outs, 1-1 count, fastball up and in, 97. There's Mejia in the air. And then, boom, massive collision. Look at that. Boom. Ran right into him. Smoked straight down. Ritter's checking, warming as his hands up in the air. He's like, yeah, nice play. And then Ritter's checking to make sure he has the ball in his glove. He's like, yep, ball's in the glove. Game's over. There he is. Warren Schaefer sprinting out there. His eyes are still closed. And then look at this. Ah, I'm good. I'm good. Ritter smile. Look at warming. Schaefer's the second guy to give him high five. There he is in the air. Splat. Glove off. Burner Bell's like, yes. Oh, wait. Oh, God. Look at this play. By the way, Juan Mejia every day is a power shagger. So he goes out there and shags. There's Mejia getting high fives. So nothing but happiness for the Rockies and a back-to-back series for them. And they beat the Diamondbacks, who's normally had their number. All right, so here's what I want to show you. The Rockies, we've talked about their strikeout rate. And look, they've actually dropped below the Angels. So they're below the Angels, which is good. So that means an improvement. Batting average is slowly creeping up. This is terrible. 693 OPS, that's bad. Still near the bottom of baseball. But climbing, slightly climbing. OPS numbers, OPS plus, because it's park adjusted. Rockies should be right here, 84. That's going to slightly improve. But here's what I want to show you. So we always talk about personnel. And something that I mentioned with the Guardians and the Brewers. And let's get Colin Cowherd off my screen. Get off of there. What we've talked about with the Rockies is that they need more players that hit for contact. So I basically took from end of July, so Burden Bell's on the team and Kyle Karros is coming. And check out the strikeout percentage. So there's the Angels still up around 28%. The Rockies were there. You remember like earlier when you had Michael Tolia and you had Brenton Doyle wasn't swinging the bat well. They were around 30%, so not good. But since they've added and Tyler Freeman's getting a chance to play, they're down below 20%. So league average is right around here, 22 average. The Rockies are now below it, and the Rockies are winning series. The Rockies have won series since the All-Star break, which is fantastic. They're actually not on pace to set the record for most losses in a season, which is fantastic. I still think you'll see changes stopping. But the point is like the personnel that the Rockies have is allowing them to put the ball in play. So it has nothing to do with like, at times, hitters approach. Like, I'll give Jordan Pacheco and Nick Wilson some credit. I'll always give people credit. But personnel, the personnel striking out right around 16%. So you can now make, but start putting what the Rockies have done. They've come from behind. So they have actually won. Check this out. They have won five series since the All-Star break. Five for the Rockies, which because now they're not on this pace to pass the 2024 Chicago White Sox, which I love seeing that. That's a really important improvement. Historically bad context is all you can ask for, right? So the next 2 months, 40-ish games, Rockies are 35 and 89, which still, I mean, that's a terrible wreck. Let's call it what it is. They're one loss away from 90. They'll probably be the first team to 100 losses this year, but they're 35 and 89. And yeah, they've improved. They've improved. Now, the reason why they improved is personnel. The personnel, it's players that put the ball in play, which is what I've been begging for. So now we'll get the Dodgers in town. Dodgers for four. That's going to be a challenge. And then they go to Pittsburgh, where historically they have not played well in Pittsburgh. We will see a Shohei Ohtani pitch on Wednesday. So if you get a chance to come to the yard, please, by all means, come watch Shohei Ohtani. He's the greatest player you'll ever see in your lifetime. Greatest player you will ever see in your lifetime. Like, I'm telling you, what he does, he's like at the top of the leaderboard in all these offensive categories, and he's pitching. So you get to see it firsthand. Like, hey, I saw Ohtani pitch at Coors Field on Wednesday, August, what, I think it's gonna be the 21st, 22nd. Come to the field. It should be sold out to see that. I think so. Now, I'm not asking you to support a team if you don't support it, but for a baseball, if you really do love baseball, go watch Ohtani. He's a unicorn. And I don't know how long he's going to be able to do that for. So take it while you can. So the Dodgers will come rolling in. Then the Rockies go to Pittsburgh, historically tough place to play. And then Houston, another really like kind of nightmarish place for the Rockies. So hopefully this new version of the Rock Show, where they're just kind of a little bit more scrappy because they're not striking out. They're definitely not striking out 10 times a day. Big improvement. I did this one note, especially going back to what I mentioned with Toronto. So to give you an idea, I think you've heard me talk about run differential, kind of a low hanging fruit stat. It's an okay stat. Obviously you want to score more than your opponents, but you might get a game in there where, you win 19-1 or you lose like a crazy game 15-0. That'll skew your run differential. So it's kind of hard to really kind of put a lot of value into that. Obviously, if you're a good offensive scoring team, you're probably blowing out teams more than you're losing or getting blown out. So eventually it kind of evens out. Home run differential is a fantastic stat for me. You want to out homer your opponent. So the more homers you hit, the better off you are. There are some exceptions to the rule. But the one that I think stands out the most and one that the Rockies should be kind of like pushing for is strikeout differential. How many times your pitching staff strikes someone out versus how many times your team strikes out. And where the Toronto Blue Jays are right now is they're at like plus 270. Plus 270. So their staff has struck out more than their offense has. This is the Blue Jays have the hardest offense to punch out in baseball. We talked about that when the Blue Jays scored all those runs against the Rocks. Like, I wanted to see what it was going to look like, and it happened exactly how I thought it would. Rockies don't strike anyone out, and you have a team that puts the ball in play at Coors Field with crazy hitting environment during that time frame when it was super hot. But plus 270 to kind of give you some context. Imagine this. 270, so that's 27 outs in a game. In theory, like we can count, that's 10 games that the Blue Jays have played this year where the opponent hasn't even put a ball in play. So if you think about that, that should be 10 wins just based on strikeouts. So like that's just based on strikeouts, like putting ball play versus them not putting ball. So 10 wins. If the Rockies can be like even Steven or slightly above that, because right now I think the Rockies are like a minus 340. So that's like 15 games that the Rockies have not put the ball in play. That's essentially 15 losses. So, you know, the Rockies are, what is it? They're 35 and 89. So let's say that number became closer to even 15 losses. Let's put it at neutral. Let's say that let's say they split those games. That would put the Rockies' current record just based on not striking out and striking some people out. They would be close to 43 and 82. Not a huge jump, but significant, right? So that is something that I'm hoping that the Rockies will continue to look to improve. You follow me at SpillyGoat19, and you can follow the boys at Mile High Sports. I will do more this week because I have all my material. I'm at my house.